Anthony Stewart joins us now, former NHLer, hockey analyst. You can hear him on the Morning Skate on the Blair Show, Mondays at 11 o'clock. Good morning, Anthony.
Morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, to Austin Matthews, but look what he's surrounded by. I mean, if you want to put point totals together, man, oh, man, the Leafs on that power play alone, you wonder how many points can all of them run up, and other teams scared of taking penalties, you would think.
Absolutely. I threw a tweet out there yesterday about the Dallas penalty kill there, saying throw in the towel. It was pretty amazing watching how many different options there were, from Marner passing it to Tavares, to hitting Matthews on the flank. So there's definitely different options out there. It's amazing to watch because we haven't even really seen Riley, what he can do out there. He's got the big shot, so definitely high-flying, it's definitely entertaining, and it was exciting watching that that touchdown offense last night.
And we talked about it earlier this morning. There are teams, they've had good power plays. I was shocked when Greg gave us the numbers. Nobody's come close to 30% in a season. And you look at certain power plays. It's the point guy. It's the flank guy. It's the guy in front of the net. Fact of the matter is the Leafs have all of those. Plus, how will you ever decide how to attack this power play?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's shades of, Pittsburgh when they were dominant, shades of Chicago. So it's definitely setting the bar, but I really don't know how to defend it. You can't really block the shot. You can't really try to step up on Marner because he can do a tight turn and make you look silly. So I think teams around the league are going to be doing a lot of video, and I think if they get into trouble, what they're going to do now is just spread it out because there's so many different options, and they can definitely hide guys on the second unit. So it's definitely it's amazing to watch, and what I'm most impressive of yesterday was how they were sort of not really in the game. It was 2-2 game. And within 5 minutes, it's 5-2, right? The two of them were power play. I think Hainsey's was just after the power play. So seeing how they were sort of just hanging on in the game, and then they get those, three power plays, and then all of a sudden, they're up 5-2. So that's the most impressive part, because they can sit back now and sort of wait for those power plays and definitely get back into games and get up in games. So I don't think that's a recipe for long-term success, but so far, so good.
Anthony Stewart, our guest on Brady Price 716, played 262 games in the NHL. You always played in the East, so you played when Stamkos was coming in as a rookie, Tavares' first couple years as well. I don't think people understand, Anthony, how ideal, and I mean this almost as a compliment, John Tavares is going to be, to me, a complimentary player to Austin Matthews. And though I know everyone says, he could be a 1C on 22, 24 other NHL teams, and they're right, but Tavares has the mentality to do this. He doesn't have to be the Robin to Matthews' Batman, but I've watched the first four games so far. I don't have a doubt. Just like Crosby, Malkin, Yzerman, Fedorov, people always want to Sakic, Forsberg. I don't have a doubt who the best Leaf player is. I don't have a doubt who the most unique Maple Leaf player is. It's Austin Matthews.
Absolutely. With Tavares, he's a constant professional. He's a true pro. And I think his goals are pretty quiet. He's got a quiet 6 goals this year. He's just going to the net, tipping pucks. And, typically with that power play in the NHL, you usually have a big body there screening the goalie, but he's just got an amazing stick around that net, redirecting pucks and, getting second and third opportunities. But definitely seeing Austin Matthews out there. He's amazing. You see his face after he's scoring these goals, big goals, except for the big, Hulk Hogan phone call there. He's emotionless out there. So it's almost easy for him, and it's amazing to watch what he's doing out there. But there's enough offense to go around here. At the end of the day, if guys are, getting 30 goals, 70 points, no one's going to be complaining with someone that has 100 points and 50 goals. So definitely a lot of offense. It's being spread around. And now, guys still haven't really been getting going. Like Kadri's sort of been quietly going about his business. Marlowe's been quietly going about his business. So it's going to be definitely exciting to see when now these, second tier, and as you say, the 1B and 2Bs guys really step up. But even last night, the critics have sort of been hard on Ron Hainsey. He had a great game last night. He scored a big goal to, put them ahead there. So it's exciting to watch.
With former NHLer Anthony Stewart, I wonder, because you said, hey, just like that, it was 5-2. Well, you know what? Just like that, it was 5-4. And then, I hear from Coach after last night's game saying, hey, look, I liked our game throughout. And I wonder, does he really believe that, because that's a change in attitude? Or is this really just not a good time to talk about the deficiencies that he may see?
Yeah, it's too early in the season, and what you don't want is, you know, Babcock can sort of be a little bit passive-aggressive, and you don't want, you know, to sort of lose the room early on the season. You got, you know, got some personalities, you got some young guys that are going, so you don't want to be on guys and saying, well, Matthews, you got to play better defense. He's going to be like, well, I'm leading the league in points here, same with Riley. So I think, you know, behind the scenes, they're probably doing a lot of video, and, you know, we know they can't sustain this this offense. At least I don't think they can, but they're preparing because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Dallas Stars, they're no slouches either. You know, looking at the stat line, Tyler Seguin had a goal and three assists. So I think that's the quietest four-point night that we've ever seen because, you know, Riley had his four assists. Matthews had two goals. Tavares had two goals. So behind the scenes, they're definitely preparing because they know that, you know, we're talking Stanley Cup this year. They got to be, you know, on top of those 2-1, 3-2 games to sort of, you know, keep it a little bit closer knit.
When you played, when a goalie had a playoff resume, I mentioned your last year in Carolina. So Cam Ward won the Stanley Cup, won the 16 requisite games 5 years previously. Does that ease the, you know, ease what's on your shoulder sometimes? Elliot brought up a good point. I think there's still going to be a question there, right? Until a guy does something, it's like a quarterback winning a playoff game. Peyton Manning lost his first four, and until you see him do it, you go, oh, of course he could do it. Why was I doubting him? But that's where Fred Anderson needs to get to. Like, there is a little bit of a wake me up in April when the games are playoff games to really judge this goalie. He could rip off three shutouts right now, and we'd still have these questions about April and May, and that's fair.
Absolutely. But, you know, we got to look at it on the positive side. You know, compared to the previous season, this is a pretty good start to Anderson. He's getting his wins. He's not letting those long shot bad goals in at bad timing. So he's making the right saves at the right time. He struggled a bit, but, you know, he hasn't really been too tested yet, but he's definitely a playoff caliber goalie. So I think it all around now with the team defense sort of stepping up, you know, for playoffs, they'll be prepared. But, you know, we're talking Stanley Cup this year, so he's definitely going to have to step up along with not just the defense, but the overall team concept of the defense and, you know, hopefully, you know, get to that ultimate goal, which is the Stanley Cup Finals.
Is it something you can maintain? Can you play this kind of hockey? Because as we know, you get to the playoffs and you just don't get the volume of power plays that you get during the regular season.
Well, it's not like this team scoring, you know, three goals on nine power plays. They're only getting two, three, four power plays a game. So I think now with the third line and the fourth line sort of stepping up now and putting more pressure in the offensive zone, I think they're going to start drawing a lot more penalties. So it's not like they've been getting 10, 12 power plays a game. Like yesterday, it was, you know, three power plays in a row, and they just sort of stepped up and, you know, they woke up. So can they sustain seven goals a game? Who knows? Maybe we're seeing an evolution of the game, but I don't think so. I think, you know, they're going to stick around, you know, hover around that 3.5 to 4 goals a game, and hopefully the defense can step up and keep them under three. So right now they're outscoring their problems, but I don't know if that's a long-term success, and I don't know if you can win the cup doing that, but I'm going to grab some popcorn, sit back, and then watch the show in the meantime.
So you've been out a couple of years. I think our listeners will be fascinated. You're part of this incredible, I think it's the greatest draft ever. You're part of this incredible 2003 draft. 71 players have played over 250 games. 3 years later, was a really good draft with Kessel and Backstrom and Taves. Only 40 guys from that class played over 200 games. You're one of them. Did you realize then, you knew how deep that draft was, you knew where you were going to go, and that matters to players. But when you look back on this now, we're 15 years removed from it. There's several Hall of Famers. There's a lot of guys with multiple cups. And you would play against a ton of these guys. It was a very OHL-rich draft that year. I was doing games on the radio then, and it's incredible how many first-rounders came out of the O that year.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think it's one of the top drafts of all time. And just you sort of put me on the spot there. But I think guys like Patrice Bergeron and Shea Weber, those guys were second rounders. Yeah. I think Pavelski was seventh or eighth rounders, and Corey Perry 30th overall, Ryan Getzlaf 19th. So I didn't really achieve as much success, but it's definitely a great draft. I was at 25, Marc-Andre Fleury at number one. But it was definitely a deep draft, and seeing all these guys internationally from when we were 16, 17 years old, we sort of knew it was a special group. So I believe that year we won the World Junior team. I think if we were an NHL team that year, it was during the lockout, that we would have been a playoff team. So that's what they were saying, and it was definitely a deep team, and it was really, really great to be a part of that. So I didn't have that success, but it's a great thing to say now that I'm retired, saying that I was part of probably, you know, the best draft class of all time.
Well,
that's definitely something something to hang your hat on.
You right? would have beat a lot of teams on the road because none of you could legally drink in any state or province. I think that's important to point that out, that you know, a lot of orange juice and oatmeal and no hangovers.
Sure.
Yeah, you're going to beat
sure.
teams that next night. I agree with you.
Yeah, we would have been the Vegas Knights. We would have been playing like road teams the whole time, and teams are coming in, taking us easy, and they'd be doing all the partying while we're sitting back playing. It wasn't Fortnite at the time. I think it was Mario Kart. So.
Anthony Stewart, former NHLer. You can hear him on The Blair Show on the Morning Skate. That's at Monday at 11. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.